Oh my God, we are back again for Asian Cult Cinema. My name is Mal. With me, as always,
Dr. Morbius.
From Parts Unknown, this is Asian Cult Cinema, Radio St. Pete exclusive, show 45.
Wow. Yeah. What is Asian Cult Cinema anyway?
It's a
I'm not sure.
Dedicated to talking about the craziest, wackiest, most obscure Asian cinema that's out there. Cultish cinema, if you will. Yeah.
This movie today is very similar to another movie that we watched.
In that it's the exact same thing. They're like, well, it worked once. Might as well do it again.
Better looking, I think. You know, there was a nice HD copy.
Oh, yeah. Online. Well, yeah.
I was watching. Man, this is so clear. Wow. You can see, like, every special effect that they did. You know?
The only thing that was different was the stone thing was smaller. The original one, it was like
this. It may have seemed bigger, yeah.
But
the scope was bigger, but basically, same thing. There's a third one, too, but maybe
we should give that one a pass, I'm saying. I don't know.
It could be different, you know.
So,
this is The Return of Daimajin, Jin, actually, is the name of this movie.
Not Diamond Jim.
Not Diamond Jim. Daimajin, or Majin, as it was known in the United States. Yes. Daimajin is the Japanese title.
Yeah.
And they're interesting movies. They're samurai movies, basically, with a little bit of sci-fi at the end.
Yeah, and that and this one he didn't. I can't remember if he did or not. And the first one, did he draw his sword? In this one, he has that sword, and he didn't draw it at all. But I don't think he did in the first one either. But maybe he did.
Remember.
He might have used it. I can't. Like, it's hard to. There's a few differences that were very glaring in the second one, but you know, I don't know. So, if you remember, how many shows back was it? I can't remember. It wasn't
that long ago.
It was just before Christmas, I think.
Yeah, a few months ago.
I really loved it. You know, and this is one that came out of nowhere. I'd never heard of it. And when we played it, Dr. Morbius chose, and I was like, okay, whatever. And boy, I really was like, man, this is awesome. So much so that my Christmas present was a DVD of the original. And I was like, all right, this is awesome. You know, I love it. And boy, this one, they just did... Not the exact same thing, but boy, it's similar.
It's,
you know?
It's basically, you know, the old. It's like you know the you know, the golem. The golem was like this Jewish kind of protector thing that was made out of clay, and then when the Jews were being persecuted, you know, it came to life and it protected them. This is kind of like the Japanese version of the golem. Well,
it's
a real story. Yeah, it's a real story. There was actually
silent
movie of the golem where he's almost like the prototype for Frankenstein, except the golem protected them, but he was like a monster protected made out of clay. And when they were persecuted, they prayed to him. I think they prayed to him, and he came to life. And he was pretty creepy looking. The golem had a big, like, triangular head, kind of like Majin, a lot like Majin. And he, you know, protected him. So this is
and they did
similar
a movie on
idea.
That
oh yeah, silent movie. Yeah, one of the famous silent movie that was lost for a long time, but somebody found it like in pieces at a projection. They found a copy of it at a thrift store where they were using a battered print as a tryout for projectors. That's where they found the print of the golem. Yeah. So it just tells you that there's stuff floating around.
This is a weird story. I let them sit there because they were $10 each, and I'm like, no. There was a thrift store down 66th Street. There's like a Goodwill, then right next to it, some like
Thriftway. Thrift USA.
There's four big cans
of film.
Film cans. One of them, I think, is still in its wrapper. I don't even know what and some were like obvious prints, but I don't know what they are. And you can't gamble on $10 each. Like,
no.
I like the film cans because they're the giant ones. They're like the really big ones.
Yeah.
And you don't know if they're exposed. You don't know if they're like.
I've got four 60mm prints in my garage, and then they're in plastic bags because they stink. They're like
the vinegar smell.
The vinegar, they're smelling.
That means they're shot. You know,
I just I don't know where the hell to dump them. You know, I gotta just dump them somewhere. I don't know who's. I don't know if the garbage men will take them or
they
whatever.
They will. Just throw it in the bag.
Just throw it in the bag in the garbage or
they
whatever.
They won't know. It's not you're not harming anything. I was tempted, but I was like, what am I going to do with this?
I wouldn't do it
because you don't even know what you're going to do.
They're probably bad by now. They're probably bad by now.
No, these are new ones though.
Oh.
That's what I mean. Like, I was like, do they even make this anymore? Not new, but I mean, like, maybe 80s, 70s, 80s,
yeah, 90s. Yeah, that Thrift USA used to be Park, and Park went out of business, and they just USA moved in there.
That's what, you know, one time I was in there when it was the first one, Park.
Park, yeah.
And it was pretty nasty. But that's where you find your deals, in those nasty ones where they don't care. I was going through their record bin, and it was like this dilapidated, just wooden bin thing. And I actually just like kind of straightened and reorganized all the records as I was going. And when I left, it was like perfectly, everything was put in order and put the right way. And I kind of just fixed up as I went. I didn't buy anything, but I was like, well, I fixed your records for you. So,
yeah,
you know,
so.
Oh, crazy.
So thank me, you know, one
thank
day.
Thank me never, you know.
Yeah. Is it any good, that one? I've been meaning to go in there.
No, they had records. They have a lot of records and 8-tracks. I thought of you because they have
A-tracks.
A lot of, they have 8-tracks there and everything like that. It's not bad, but they're one of those places that's like, they put like prices on stuff, and they actually have somebody who like is their price, looks stuff up and
really?
Prices it. Yeah. You know, they don't know their role, you know?
Yeah. That's like this one near my house. They're very expensive.
I only just look for records, you know, and you know, but now I wanted to start looking around at these places because like video games from certain generations and also DVDs now, they're worthless. So now is when you're going to go into a pawn shop and walk out with a couple Criterion Collection DVDs or Blu-rays for $1 because no one's buying them anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So now is when I'm kind of going to start bolstering my movie collection with stuff I really want, stuff I really love, you know, and just go in and get the best DVDs they have for nothing. You know, no one's buying this stuff. There's just row after row of them, and they're literally 99 cents each or 50 cents each. So that's why I'm going to start kind of looking at those places for, and maybe even for stuff we'll use for this. You know, that's where you're going to find, you know, these Machine Gun Girl and some of these really weird cult cinema
ones.
Did
they have VHS there?
I don't remember. I can't remember if they did, you know.
Anyway.
Well, I should have. Yeah, so anyway, Asian Cult Cinema.
You know, yeah,
AKA
thrift
local thrift store
you may
review.
You may find the Godzilla movie in a thrift store. I found many.
Oh, yeah.
Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. That was in VHS thrift stores
All
over the world. And later on, they found out that movie wasn't public domain, but it sure was for about 20 years there. You know?
Whoops.
Yeah.
Then Toho was like, I think I'm going to sue you into the ground.
Yeah, but, you know, some of these companies are like, well, we're out of business. So
Here's my cease and desist letter in the form of a lawsuit.
Yeah, you know, the sword Toho is very litigious.
Yeah, they are.
Anyway, this isn't a Toho movie. This is Daiei, the other company, the other big company,
who
specialized in samurai movies. So this is basically a samurai movie.
Sure was.
And then, you know, a lot of these movies I've been watching are basically one fighting villages. So we have once again fighting villages.
Oh yeah, that was last week too.
Warlords, yes.
The warlords just
those
being
damn
jerks.
Warlords,
you know.
Can't say that. Pain in the butt.
Yeah, that's better. So, yeah. Now, you know, don't worry. If you have a secret recorder, you can learn the curse word that Dr. Morbius said. No, it's not that bad.
That's kind of like another word for a donkey. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yes, it's a real pain in the donkey. Anyway, so, yeah. This starts out with, like, kind of the standard stuff. Warlord, you know, brutalizing
feudal
his
Japan,
people. Feudal Japan. And... the way they portray feudal Japan and like kind of almost like the same as the villages in China, it's almost like hell on earth. Like, it's just like one guy literally standing on the backs of workers and women and children and going, meh, ha, 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 and twirling a mustache or whatever. Sometimes in the Japanese ones, it's twirling one of those little Hitler mustaches, and that's weird.
Why is it Hitler? It could be Charlie Chaplin. Charlie Chaplin had
no. He's ruined that glorious mustache fashion statement for all time.
I know.
For all time.
All time.
Jerk. Let's go. We'll be right back. Here's a trailer break, and then
you could grow one.
I could. No, I'm not gonna though, because then people would be like, "Hey, he's that Hitler mustache guy."
No, it's Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, that's what I'll tell everyone. Then I'll be fired early.
Some of America's fiercest killers were also lady killers. Pretty Boy Floyd was one of the best. Charles Arthur Floyd was just a poor country kid who parlayed a little ambition and a lot of bullets into a successful bank robbing career. American International Pictures brings out the best and the worst of one of this country's most public enemies in A Bullet for Pretty Boy. Fabian Forte stars as Pretty Boy Floyd, who had none of the minor vices. Killing, robbing, and chasing women were his thing. The girls who loved him and the men who hunted him called him Pretty Boy.
Got nowhere to go, but I'm going. Got nowhere to stay, but I'm staying. I can't run no more.
See Fabian Forte in his most unusual role. See A Bullet for Pretty Boy. Rated GP.
Minnie Me loves chocolate. Scotty do.
What? I like chocolate fine. I just...
Scotty do.
Yeah, well, yeah, this is very familiar. Hang on, let me do what I do. Would you stop?
How about an hour?
How about a what?
How about an hour?
What are you...
How about an hour?
I don't even...
How about an hour?
Honestly, isn't this...
How about you do, ladies and gentlemen, Scotty do.
All right, Bullet for Pretty Boy. You said Fabian?
Fabian, wow. The singer was in this.
Nice.
Yeah, his career was on the down.
You think? All right. So basically, like we said, you know, it's,
well, let me talk a little bit about these movies. I don't remember ever seeing these movies as a kid, but
I never heard of them.
Yeah, exactly. I never heard of them until like about maybe 30 years ago. But they played like as part of a creature feature. You know, shows sometimes. They're part of an AIP package. And it had to be weird for a kid to go, oh, Japanese monsters, yeah. And you basically, they just dubbed these, the first, the two, they didn't do the third one. But it'd be kind of weird because you're watching like a creature feature show and you're getting a samurai movie for 1 hour of the movie. And then the last 20 minutes is like the giant monster. So it's kind of odd, but these movies made an impression on people, apparently, because I've read a few like reminiscence of these movies, and these kids were watching them going like, wow, this is interesting. But then when that, like, especially in the first one, when that monster does the hand, you know, and his face turns really mean and nasty, it's impressive, man.
Oh,
it catches you by surprise, and you're like, whoa.
Because it's nothing.
And it's then, like a little happy, placid face.
Yeah, and then he goes, and you're like, whoa.
Because the description, a giant stone god comes to life, and like, okay, you're watching it, and you're like, yeah, okay. They're like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, because as a kid, you're just kind of watching, and there's enough martial arts and stuff mixed in there.
Yeah, swordplay.
Yeah, you know, and it's your basic tyranny, you know, all that kind of stuff. But then these movies, more than any other, not more than any other in the world, but these movies, they really let it go. Like, this god doesn't just show up.
No.
I mean, it is like just nonstop. Villainy. Then finally, the tear falls from the one, you know, virginal sacrifice or whatever. And then he's like, well, now it's time to kill y'all.
Now it's here I come to save the day. That's always, but that's like in a lot of things, man. It's
until
you can't take it anymore. And then when you get to that point where I'm broken, boom, you know, it's like, you know.
When in real life, no one ever shows up. They just leave you broken, but yeah, the tyranny just continues. But I'm down right now, so it's sad.
Yeah,
but anyway, so yeah, you know, it starts out like first they show some guy being a real jerk about and just oppressing all his people, and two of them like escape and they run to the island of the god when they go through the Tolei, which is the red gate that's kind of at the entrance to all shrines, holy things, you know, in Japan. And they make it. And they're like, yay! And they go there and they start praying, you know. And then they're talking about, oh, isn't it great? You know, this clan, like, you know, on the other side of the water, of the lake, they keep saying, so nice. They care about their people. It's a good place to live compared to the tyranny of where we are.
Yeah.
Smash cut back to the other village and they're like, yeah, we have to kill that village and take everything over. How are we going to do it? And they're like, well, let's go through the island of God and then we'll surprise them.
Yeah.
And then we'll kill them. And then we win.
And we win. And we got two spots.
Yay for things and land. And you're like, okay, I guess that works, but
not
really.
We'll unify our country by killing all the people.
What they did, now I'm remembering it. They're like, oh, to take that over because they have the water, so they're prosperous, and we're in the valley, so we get nothing, or the mountains. And I'm like, I don't think that's how commerce works. The water isn't there's plenty of resources in mountains and valleys, just not water resources. You'd have to get timber and grow stuff, and then the people from the water area would trade you fish and water, commerce,
But no, but since you're a warlord, you don't want commerce. You want complete control of everything.
Yeah, they have all the good stuff because they have the water. So let's kill them and take their stuff. Yeah. And you're like, meh. And he twirled his evil little mustache. And you're like, oh, okay, buddy. So now the princess who was just, she was shown doing this dance. And that dance in the beginning of this, I tried to look her up and I couldn't see any that I saw. I've seen her. Her specifically, this actress, I've seen her do this dance in
another movie.
In other movies, oh, at least two other movies,
Bond movies or something.
No, like the karate, samurai. Kung fu, samurai stuff. She must have been this dance that she does must have been very famous, and she was very good at it because it was subtle. That subtle Japanese dance, the drum in the back and that like stringed instrument, that clang clang,
Yeah.
So she does a dance, and they're like, oh, what great time. And then four peasants show up, and they're like, oh, we all saved one bowl of rice. We're poor as crap, but here's this rice. And he's like, oh, wow, you're so nice. Thank you very much. And he accepts it because they have to accept it, And it's a ruse because you just know. The way they film it, you're like, that's a ruse. But they put these bundles of rice in the cellar of the castle. And then they leave. And I forget why, but they go to pray to the god. They're like,
right,
okay.
They're praying to the god.
Yeah, what a wonderful thing.
Is that when the god's face turns a different color?
Yeah, it turns like red. And they're like, uh-oh.
I thought he was blushing because he was embarrassed.
Oh, yeah, you guys always praying.
Enough with the praying. Yeah. Just send me some money,
Exactly. No. So they're like, uh-oh, it's red. That means bad things are coming to the clan. And they're like, well, let's pray harder. That's they said, let's pray harder. I'm like... Why don't you go? Whatever. Okay. Yeah. Pray harder. So basically, now they know something's going to happen, but they're hoping that their prayers will be answered and this thing won't. And first time Majin was in the side of a mountain, and they would traverse through these paths and go pray to him. Now this time. He's carved into this huge rock sculpture in the middle of water, in the middle of a lake.
Yeah.
And that's where he is, in this big pile of rock. So it stands out more. It's much more like a destination, where the other one was kind of in a village's own little thing,
This one's almost like a shrine.
Yeah,
nice exactly. sets, too, in these movies. That's where they spent money on it. They had nice sets and... Same as some of the Universal stuff. It was
beautiful.
It was not. It was definitely.
It looked authentic.
Not a cheapo movie.
Yeah, it looked authentic, and it was really it looks perfect. And there's one of those big bells that they're ringing, which I actually had the privilege of ringing one of those bells in Japan, the big gong, with the log. And it was weird because the what we were ringing it with was an actual huge log. It was really cool. But anyway. So now they're like, oh, let's pray harder. And then, and of course, as they're doing that, the guys come out of the rice, the Trojan horse full of rice. They come out and they open the gate up, and now everyone storms in, and it's just bedlam. And they're like, oh, we're going to kill everyone. And now we own you. And they're like, oh, okay, whatever, I guess. And they throw the brother into this weird dungeon-y thing. And they're like, well, we're going to get the very first scene, the prince runs away. Remember that?
Yeah, that's the prince is
They're trying to get the prince to
later comes back.
Yeah, that's they're trying to kill the prince, and they're like, oh, well, that's the girlfriend lives in the other town, so let's go there. So now they go to kidnap the girlfriend, hold her hostage to get the draw the prince out. That's what I forgot that little nugget there.
Yeah.
So. I mean, now this is the samurai part where they're just chopping people up and hacking everyone up.
Killing people, torturing people.
It doesn't end.
But she escapes at some point to go back to pray to Majin again.
Yeah, she gets
but
away.
But then they find her. And
they blew it up.
And then they blow it up because they're like, oh, see, here's what we think of your guy. What do you think of your guy now? And they blow him up.
They blew it up. And I was like, oh, that's reminiscent of recent news.
But yeah, exactly.
I was like, the more things change, the more they stay the same. So they blew that up, and then they drug her back, but then they no, because they blew it up. They were underneath the rocks, her and her manservant, and they're like, well, yeah, she's dead. Now let's go back. And then they come out of the rubble. They're like, oh, see, Majin saved us. And they're like, okay, we're gonna take a trailer break, and then we come back, and we're gonna wrap up this movie, Crazy Town, USA. I mean Japan.
Hey guys, come check out Two Dimension Comics, the comic book podcast with no direction.
We feature candid roundtable discussions about all things comics, past and present, with a killer soundtrack.
We like to include visuals of everything we talk about on the show. You can find that by going to bunchofdorks.com
and click on the Cyclops!
Naked corpse lying face down in a pool of blood. The decapitated body of a beautiful girl. The smell of death is in the air. Someone should have warned them about the horror on Snape Island. But what was the real horror? You'll have to see it to believe it. This horror of horrors. Horror on Snape Island. A modern day story of fear and terror. See Horror on Snape Island. It will make you tremble with fear. From the Fanfare Corporation, rated R.
You gotta give me a ride.
I'm way too big to drive to the Devil's House.
Absorbing Essence, not on this podcast. Anyway, so now we like they blew up the statue, And evil is in full gear.
Evil.
Oh my God, this guy.
Nothing good about these guys.
This warlord is like the most evil of evil. He's like, mwahahaha. You know, he twirls his mustache.
Snidely whiplash.
Yep. Oh my God, it's insane. And his general is a rotten guy. And it's the usual, pushing people down. He's a rotten guy. So now she's sitting there and praying extra hard to the rocks that were the god, and her boyfriend shows up, like, or the prince. He shows up in this boat, the purple. It's all the purple boat. Prince shows up. Purple.
Whatever.
Sorry, everyone.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Come on.
So him and his manservant show up, and they're all just laying there like, ugh. And then they pull him in, and he's like, oh, well, now I'm better, so I'm going to go fight this guy. And you're like, you just got here. That the one thing about these movies, I notice this a lot. No downtime.
No.
You know what?
Get to work.
When you're beat up and dying and shot
too
and
bad.
Stabbed.
Too bad. Get to work.
Take a couple days and recoup. You know, the Westerns always did that. The guy kind of nursed himself back, got into good
Clint
shooting.
Clint got the crap beat out of him in that movie. He had to. Remember, he got beat up by the, you know, the families or whatever.
Well, no, I mean, but like all movies like that,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But still, but not, you know, the karate movies they get right back up and they're ready to go. So this guy is, his grand plan is, I'm going to go there, break in, and I'm going to just, you know, talk to him and make him just leave.
Give up.
That's the extent of his plan. So as they're leaving, the bad guys show up because they're like, yeah, he's probably going to go there. Let's go there and wait for him. So they're following behind him, and the water turns into a whirlpool and pulls the bad guys down and leaves them alone.
So that's like Majin working his magic.
Yeah. Majin's just chilling.
He's just chilling until the end.
Yeah. And at that point, I'm like, okay. So they go there. And there's a lot of the samurai fighting, the running around and all that stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I think at this point, then they don't kill him, but they get this warlord and hold him hostage, but then they lose him.
Yeah, he escapes. Yeah, he goes. Remember, they're fighting, and him and his buddy jump into that hole there, mm-hmm. and then they end up, you know, they end up like on the other side or whatever.
Yeah.
They swam for a while. And
oh, that's right. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, ill-conceived plan. And they're like, oh, and they kind of get away. And they go back to this island. And then the bad guys show up again and they like they push the they throw the ceremonial bell into the water and break it because the girl like warned them.
Yeah, right.
And all that stuff. And that's when I thought he was going to wake up because she was trying to warn the guy not to come because they were waiting for him.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, she's ringing that bell. That must mean they're waiting for me. And I was like, that's a pretty big leap.
That's Majin's like dinner call.
Yeah. Dinner's ready, Majin. Dinner
ding, 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 ding.
Here's some rocks for your rock face.
Yeah.
Aw, he eats better than rocks.
Yeah.
So then they beat her up and they kill the old man or the manservant.
Yeah.
And then they huck this bell into the water and they show it like falling in slow motion and breaking apart. And
they capture him and then they're getting ready to they crucify.
Weirdest scene ever. Nah, that's not even true. Not even close, but very weird scene. They have all of our heroes are tied up on these stakes. And the bad guy's bad guying up going, meh, I'll break you. You're a scum and you're a piece of crap. Yeah. And I own everything now.
And now it gets biblical because they're crucified.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing. Like, all the peasants are sitting there behind those sticks again. They bring the girlfriend up. And there's a cross there in the middle of a fire. And she's wearing white. And they strap her up with like angel wings. Her kimono is hanging down on the arms like an angel wing. And they light her on fire. And you're like, so what am I watching now? Because like the sun's up and she's looking at the water. And there's a cross. And they're burning a cross. I'm like, huh. What the hell am I watching here?
And then
out
of the water.
Well, then she's like,
tears.
I love you, Majin, and I love you too, boyfriend. And a single tear falls, then it's on.
And then he comes up out in the water, and then the water parts like, you know, Moses kind
of. I know. Bad effect, but whatever.
I liked it, though.
I mean, the wave effects were pretty rough.
No, but from 1966, I mean, that's
I should cut him some slack. Yeah.
Cut him some slack.
Yeah, but
it was a neat effect.
Now, the first one, the girl's single tear woke this up. It's one tear. If you share one tear of love, then Majin shows up and starts wrecking the joint.
Yeah.
And they're like, huh. I don't remember that ocean parting. Huh, look at that gigantic stone monster.
That is different, you know.
look at that gigantic stone monster.
They get all biblical at the end. Yep. Like crosses burning.
It's so weird.
Water parting.
That's a little uneven. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, somebody got a hold of a copy of the Bible, and they're writing it in.
Yeah. And here comes Majin on a tear and a vengeance. And he just tears everything.
And he does the hand thing again.
He does the two hands. He goes, hey, two hands now.
Yes. Whoa. And I do love how they're very slow. He's not like a fast-moving thing.
Yeah, they do something to the camera. Yeah, to slow it down a little bit.
He was less vengeful than the first one.
Oh, in the first one, he was...
Off the charts. And that's what the second one, I thought, more off the chart. Like...
The first one really got you by surprise. Now you knew what you were going to happen. That's the thing. The first one went, whoa, where did this come from?
And I loved every second of it.
And this one, it was like, here he comes. Okay.
He was personally angry and wrecking that guy. Remember, like, he wrecked his stuff. He killed all his people. He stepped on that one guy.
Yeah, he pushed a spike through
him. He's like, you crush. You know, you're like, yes, I love this guy. And he turned into an energy ball and flew away. I was like, that's weird, but whatever.
Yeah, this one, he like tears up the thing. They try to grab him. He pulls the tops off building. The one guy at the end, he's got like X-ray eyes or whatever. I mean, some of the effects were kind of good for what 1966.
And I'm always like, look, you know, you summoned a supernatural god monster.
Samurai.
Let's shoot him. What I mean, just run and run. Just I would keep running until.
Yeah, but for all you running, Majin's like, yeah, I'll get to you in a second. Hold on.
I think if you're one of the dudes, if you're one of the little henchmen, you could outrun him and just hope he goes away.
You got to think a couple guys made it through. I don't know, maybe a couple. But he tore the buildings off everything.
Oh yeah. Well, first he picked up the cross out of the fire and he looked at her and he set her down gently.
Yeah.
Then it's on like Donkey Kong. Then he just stomps off and kills everyone. I'm like, yeah. It was weird that it wasn't this super destruction. The Super Destructo.
Super Destructo.
Like my cat, Destructo.
Scratching at the door.
Super
there,
Destructo cat powers.
But it was destruction enough. You know?
Oh, yeah.
They had to do something different. You know, it was like basically almost the same movie.
Yeah.
So they had to kind of make it a little more. Like, let's do something different. Off the wall or whatever. So,
yeah.
You know, he was a little more godlike in this one. Yeah. The one, he was just like almost like a demon come to life or whatever. This one, he was more godlike.
That
was,
the first one I can see where that would scare the heck out of kids.
Like kids in the middle of the
night.
Oh, my
God,
when
man.
You're watching it, you're like, okay. Oh, man.
Probably your first exposure to Japanese anything.
And you're you like, know, you know, remember,
it wasn't like it was now, like it is now. Kids didn't have any, I didn't have any exposure to anything. You know, Asian kung fu movies a little bit. You know, Master of the Flying Guillotine was it. But then
even as an adult, when I first saw it, I went, whoa. That's pretty intense.
That freaked
me
out.
That face.
A month ago when I watched it, I was that's
face
awesome.
Was like, yeah.
I loved it. And I loved this one, too. They're totally under the Godzilla thing of, hey, work the first time. Do it again.
Yeah.
Little bit different, but do it again, you know.
Yeah. It was a formula. I mean, I think it wasn't even a year between the two of them.
I
maybe.
Saw that. It was like the same year.
It was like they
didn't even strike the set.
And they were like, let's go. Get back on the set.
They didn't even strike the set. They just, come back tomorrow.
Yeah, get that costume ready. Don't destroy it. It's still good, right? Okay, do it.
Wipe it down. We're using it again.
Close them down. We're doing it again. Yeah.
You know,
the story. Same story. We're just fluff it up a little bit.
We're going to add some Bible stuff. A little bit of Bible stuff we're adding.
We'll sell it to the kids in America.
It's always a hit, you know. So I did like it a lot. Like we've been saying the whole time, same movie. If you like the first one, you'll like the second one.
Yeah.
I think
the effects may have been better.
A little bit.
In the second one. And we saw like a really nice HD print, so it looks amazing.
Oh,
The first one still looked like a 16 print, which is nice, but this one here was like, oh man, this is like, I was shocked. We got it, you know, off of YouTube, and I was shocked at how clear it was.
Yeah,
it was
sometimes like, they're nice.
I was like, man, this is like, I didn't know they could do that to old movies like this, but cool.
So, sounds like we both would highly recommend it. Suggesting,
yeah.
You know,
this one or the first one, go for it.
Yeah,
you know?
They're fun. They're really, if you're like me and never heard of them, even though I've lived in this genre for years and years and years, watching Godzillas and kaiju battles and stuff. This is one that I just slipped under my radar. I don't know
it's very popular, but it's not, and it's a cult movie, but it's just kind of like,
you have to be
enough.
In the know. You have to be in the know to hear it, to get it.
Like,
you know?
Yeah, you have to get through a lot of things to get to.
And that's why we're here, to help you be in the know.
Yes, and to get these movies.
So everyone thank Dr. Morbius from Parts Unknown. He's the one that enlightened us all. Myself included.
So I'm your Majin.
Magi.
Magi.
You're the Majin Magi.
And remember, if you're going to pray to Majin, he's not going to do anything until you start crying. Okay?
One tear. Just drop one tear into a little bucket of water, and he's going to show up and start wrecking stuff.
Tear it up.
That's why he's our hero. All right. You got anything else?
No, I'm done.
I know.
And
me
we're
too.
Done.
We are done.
Do we have time left?
I think we have time for Don Sullivan.
Oh, wow.
Hey, but before you go, make sure you go to projectpinball.org and donate. That's a non-profit organization that puts pinball machines in children's hospitals. Check out Bunch of Dorks. There you're going to find Slow Robot A Go-Go. That's our B-movie review podcast.
Yes.
And Two Dimension Podcast.
Comic books.
And then the bottom one is like the indie circuit, but a lot of cursing. It's called A Bunch of Dorks.
Yeah.
10-year run. And then, of course, on this station, go to the archive section. Listen to all the Asian cult cinemas, because we have 44 of them before this one. And, of course, then listen to the Indie Circuit. That's my independent music.
And all the other shows on Radio St. Pete.
Yeah, hey, why not? You're there.
God.
You're there
That's
already.
That's a one-stop entertainment network for radio enjoyment fun.
And if you want more cursing, go to Bunch of Dorks.
There's a lot of blanking cursing on there.
And anger.
Even Slow Robots got some
little
words.
Bit.
Don doesn't want dirty words.
We dip our toe in the curse word buckets, but we're not crazy with it. All right, my name is Melvin, as always.
Dr. Morbius.
See you next week, one and all.
Mark! Yeah! Ing! Yeah! Bird! Yeah! 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 Mockingbird, don't everybody have you heard?
Have you heard?
She's gonna buy me a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird don't sing,
don't sing,
she's gonna buy